Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. And I'd like to dismiss the children for children's church that attend children's church. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord, as the choir just sang about. And in many ways, our book of 1 Peter talks about the coming of the Lord. We are on a journey of hope. The Bible is so relevant to our day because the Bible does not candy coat life. As a matter of fact, this book is about persecution. This book is about difficulty and anxiety and worry that we have in our life and how we deal with it even as believers. The scripture says for our Bible study in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, and I'm just going to do a few verses here through verse 7, just three verses. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It says he may exalt you in due time. Essentials for victory along the way. If you are a follower of Jesus, that means that you have turned away and said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that I have gone my own way and been my own God and run my life my own way. But I want to turn away from that because I recognize that you are the creator of life, that you created me, and that you have provided a way of salvation for me to remove the guilt of sin, and for me to accept a gift that can only be offered by God of his own son, Jesus Christ. And you have accepted and trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation. The Bible has many ways to describe that. It describes it as being saved. It describes it as being born again. It describes it as being a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ. It describes it as being adopted into the family of God. The truth of the matter is that sometimes in this life we have difficulty, and there are some essentials that we need along the way to help us as we look forward to the victory, the ultimate victory that we have in Jesus. Now, sometimes the Lord delivers us from our difficulty right now. He just takes us out of it. There is great victory in the situation that we're in. Sometimes we have to go through that difficulty. The three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel went to the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to the pagan king. And they said, we're not going to bow. And they said, we'll give you one more chance. And they said, we don't have to form a committee. We don't have to think about it any longer. If you throw us in that fire and we end up with God, they said, that's fine. But the Lord may deliver us, but we're not going to bow down. And so they threw them in the fire. And what happened in that fire is one of the truths we learn from the New Testament. And that is that when the king looked into the fire, he saw four men in the fire. He saw the three that he threw in, but then he looked at, he said, what, didn't I throw three in there? But there's a fourth one in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God. Well, the truth is, God was with them in the fire. God is with you. And he says to his children, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so the scripture says in our passage that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, verse 6, that he may exalt you in due time. So the timing of ultimate deliverance may be different for the circumstances that you're in. But ultimately, in due time, when the Lord comes again, when what the choir just sang about happens, the Lord comes again, then we will be free of all the difficulty and the problems that we face. But here's the question, what do we do now? If we're in difficulty, how do we make it? That's what 1 Peter is all about. We're on a journey of hope. The Bible in 1 Peter makes it clear that we're on a journey. We're moving. Christian, you are in movement with God. You're on a journey with God. And so never forget that life is not just to be still and you're just quiet there with no movement. No, you're in a relationship, a living relationship with Almighty God, and the Bible calls it a sojourner. Your real home is not here. Your real home's in heaven. All right? In light of that, though, how do we relate to one another? Well, the whole book of 1 Peter is about that. We're not going to read it all, but if you went back to chapter 3, it talks about wives relating to husbands, husbands relating to wives. There's great passages in here about church people relating to one another in the church, how we relate to an unbelieving world. All of these things are answered in 1 Peter. He's bringing it to a conclusion, and he's giving us some essentials right now. What are some essentials? Now, last week we talked about those that are pastors and how they are to shepherd the flock of God. Today in verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Three things in these three verses of Scripture that I want to highlight for you, highlight for myself, and remind us these are some qualities we are to have on this side of heaven. All right? The first one, teachability. It says, younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. There's a little bit of debate among the scholars about whether he's talking, the word elder there is only the pastors. He was talking about elders as an office in the church. But either way, whether it was those that are younger submit to the pastors, or whether it was submit to just those that are more seasoned in the Lord, the bottom line is how do we relate to one another? We're to relate to one another with teachability. You could take the word younger there and put the younger generation or those younger in the faith. The word submit there means to voluntarily place yourself under. In other words, you defer to the authority of that elder or that elder person. The word elders can refer to the office of the pastor teacher or to more wise older leadership in a fellowship. He uses this word in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in both ways. So we know that it could go either way. Either the elder means just the office of elders or bishops or pastors in the church, or it could mean the idea of just seasoned older believers who are mature in their faith. But in 1 Timothy 5:1, he says, do not rebuke an older man. And he uses that word elder there, an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. So there he's using that phrase to talk about just more elderly people, more seasoned people. But in verse 17, he uses it as the office of the church. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. But look what it says there. Younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. We could all use some teachability in our lives. Amen? That's a good place for an amen. Amen? Amen? We could all use some teachability. Can I say this? When life gets hot, when the crucible that you're in is difficult, it sure is nice to have some seasoned people that have gone through it with you. But sometimes we rebel against that and we say, oh no, I know what is best for me. I know what is right. I don't need anybody's counsel. And we're unteachable. Now look what it says there at the end of verse 5, or kind of in the middle. Or let me say, 1 Peter 5b. Y'all ever see that? I don't know why I just said that. I just thought of it. All right, 1 Peter 5. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. All of you be submissive to one another. In other words, that means all groups, all ages be teachable. I want us to remember that Jesus Christ himself said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The word meek is the word teachableness. You know, meekness is not weakness. But meekness is pliability to allow those to help instruct and to teach you. So I want to encourage you to be teachable. So the first essential is teachability. The second one is humility. Look what it says at the end of that verse there. It says, "You all be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." Not just teachability, not just submitting to one another and listening to your elders and being submissive to one another, all groups, but you carry out, clothe yourself with humility. The phrase "be clothed" means to make this part of your wardrobe. Make one of the things you put on every day of your life humility. Be clothed with humility. Kenneth Wiest says it this way: put on humility as a working virtue. In other words, make humility an active garment that you wear. And when it says gird up yourself or clothe yourself, it's like roll up your sleeves with humility. Get active about having humility in your life. Somebody said this, that humility is the oil in the church that makes relationships run smoothly and lovingly. And then he goes into this passage that he quotes the Old Testament here. And in verse 5, he's quoting Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. He says, "Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." The word "resist" there is a military term. And what it's saying is when we have pride and we shake our fist in the face of God and we're not humble before God, we don't clothe ourselves with humility, really what we're doing, our pride calls God out. Our pride calls God's armies out. And the scripture says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We sang about it. His grace finds me. I love that song. The rich and the poor. We see it even in the mundane. God has his grace for us. It's for the whole wide world. There's enough grace to go around to the whole wide world. But sometimes we're not humble about it. We're not willing to come under the authority of God. And our pride actually calls God out. We say, "Okay, God, I'm God, you're not God, and I want to call you out into a battle." Now, that doesn't sound real smart to go head to head against God Almighty, does it? But yet that's what we do when we reject being under God's authority. The middle letter of the word pride is I. In Proverbs 3:34, it says, "Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble." In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." It goes back and quotes this in a number of places. If you are without Jesus, one of the things you need to do is you need to realize you're not God and that you need God. And that, see, a lost man must choose to be under God's authority. God resists the proud who says, "No, God, I don't need anything from you. I can do it all on my own." But he gives grace to the humble. If you're a saved man, you need to realize that God knows what's best about your life and the way you live. And as we begin to pursue God's original design for us, it's going to mean there's going to be some changes that need to be made in our lives. So truthfully, the lost man has pride because he rejects the message of salvation. He says, I don't need Christ. But the saved man has pride oftentimes because he will not, when the Lord convicts him of changes that need to be made in his life, he's trying to pursue God's design after giving his life to Christ. But the Lord says, you need to change this. You need to change that habit. You need to quit going there. You need to quit saying that. Or you need to be involved in this. It can be negative things, positive things. We say, oh no, Lord, I know what's best. So the middle letter of pride is the word I. And it says, therefore humble, verse 6, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. To humble yourself. Allow yourself to be acted upon. I love that. That has the idea where it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It means to allow yourself to be acted upon. I heard somebody say one time that salvation and walking with Jesus is like you're a beautiful painting, and you allow yourself to be put back up on God's easel and allow God to paint the picture. Some of us say, oh no, Lord, I don't like what you're painting, and we take the brush from the Lord and we start painting our own picture. But humility, where it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, it's like, Lord, I put myself back up on the easel. I allow myself to be acted upon by God. And it says, under the mighty hand of God. It's used as an expression that is associated particularly with God's deliverance, the mighty hand of God. And you can go back into Exodus and read about his deliverance of God's people out of Egypt. And it's kind of a picture of that. We recognize God's mighty hand. We recognize the sovereign hand of God. Teachability. Humility. And by the way, if we continue to reject God's authority, ultimately, the power of God gets stronger in our life. You see, in this life, a lost man can say no to Jesus. But one day he's going to face eternity. And you know what the Bible says? Every knee will bow to Jesus. It's just a matter of time. It's kind of like a jeweler or a sculptor trying to create something beautiful out of a rock right here. And he takes his hammer and he positions it to knock off some things that he doesn't want. By removing that extra rock, he's going to have something left that is beautiful. And so he just taps real gently. Well, what does he do if it doesn't come off with the little tap? He starts hitting it harder. So he's tapping. See, God's tapping on some of your hearts to let him mold you and make you. If you're without Jesus, God is tapping on your heart for you to give your life to Jesus, and he's tapping. But if you're not pliable, if you're not allowing him to change you, boy, we don't like any authority in our life. It's like the teenager that I saw many, many times working with students that said, boy, I don't like the rules my mom and dad have. They just keep on after me about the rules. I got to be in at a certain time. I cannot wait to get out of here. And so when they turn 18, they join the Marines. The hammer just got bigger. Can I say this? There's a hammer bigger than the Marines. The hammer of God. And so, folks, we are to put on humility. If we're going to make it an essential for victory in this life, is we've got to have teachability, we've got to have humility. And then the very last thing is dependence. Now, by the way, teachability is how we relate to each other. Humility is our attitude towards God. Dependence is what you do with worry and what you do with your own circumstances. He says in Verse 6, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. That's an important phrase, in due time. You may be under some pressure that you don't understand, and you say, Lord, I'm ready for you to deliver me, but he is taking you through that pressure. He's going to be with you in it. In due time, you will be exalted, though. You hold on. I used to tell young people, I never had great illustrations for this, but I was told years ago that a pit bull is different than every other dog. When a pit bull bites you, it just holds on. It has some type of lock jaw, I suppose, or something. And when it bites you, it just holds on. I said, young people, you be like a pit bull. You just hold on to Jesus. I know it's tough in your home. You may be the only Christian in your home. An adult, you may be in a difficult spot in your work. You may be in difficulty with your health. I don't know what your difficulty is, but all I can say to you is you hold on to Jesus Christ. And by the way, when you give your life to him, he's holding on to you, and he ain't lost one yet. So dependence, though, is what we do with the circumstances we're in right now. And look what it says in verse 7. I love this verse of Scripture. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The word cast with it has the idea of having a deposit. All the cares, the worry. Worry is a form of pride because we feel like we can control our circumstance and it's up to us. He cares for you, for it is a care to him concerning you. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So how do you make it? How do you have victory now? You have victory now by being teachable, one with another, by being clothed with humility. And then the third thing is casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Every day of your life, you're in a difficult situation. You say, Lord, I take these cares, this difficult situation that I'm in, and I give it to you. I cast my cares upon you. And ultimately what you're saying is you believe that there's a powerful, sovereign God that is over your life. Now, why is this even possible that we can come to God in this way? It's possible because of what Jesus Christ has done for us in him dying on the cross for our sins. I'd like us to bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.